Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today, we'll have the latest news on controversies surrounding religious freedom laws that would allow business owners to discriminate against customers based on religious views. We'll also have some national news headlines and news about a unique job training program for young people at a correctional camp in East County. Hear about a major study that found you can reduce your risk of Alzheimer's by over 50%, even if you have a family history of the disease, just by following a special MIND diet. We'll also have news about antibiotic-resistant bacteria that have gone airborne. On Crime Beat, hear about more arson fires in City Heights and about a police chase in La Mesa that ended with a crash into a car dealership. On Destination East County, we'll tell you about some amazing events, from Easter activities and a harmonica festival this weekend to an upcoming flash jam for fiddle players in Julian. Our staff will share some ideas for how to spend spring break without leaving town, and we'll also have news about job prospects looking up for college graduates in California. Plus, we'll be replaying our Wildest Jobs interview with a rodeo clown in Lakeside that won us an award last year. Stay tuned for these stories and more, and from all of us at East County Magazine, we wish you a happy Easter, Passover, spring break, or whatever else you're celebrating. Religious freedom laws that could allow businesses to refuse service to gay and lesbian customers are stirring controversy in Indiana and Arkansas. But now some heavyweight opposition has emerged, including Walmart and other corporations, as well as sports organizations including NASCAR and the National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA. Walmart, the world's biggest corporation, is based in Arkansas. Hours after Walmart's CEO, Doug McMillon, urged Governor Asa Hutchinson to veto the bill, the Arkansas governor convened a press conference to announce he will not sign the measure unless it's amended to prevent discrimination. Walmart has non-discrimination policies for gender identity and even offers health insurance benefits to same-sex marriage partners now. In Indiana, after Republican Governor Mike Pence signed his state's religious freedom bill into law, CEOs of major companies threatened to pull their business out of the Hoosier state. Those include Bill Westerly, CEO of Angie's List, who said he would halt plans for a $40 million expansion in Indianapolis. Apple CEO Tim Cook criticized the Indiana law in an op-ed piece in the Washington Post, noting that it sparked a very dangerous wave of legislation in several states, in his words. The NCAA is also based in Indiana. Charles Barkley, an analyst with the NCAA and former NBA player, called the law unacceptable, adding, "As long as anti-gay legislation exists in any state, I strongly believe big events such as the Final Four and Super Bowl should not be held in those state cities," USA Today reports. NASCAR, which hosts the Indianapolis 500 in Indiana, also issued a statement opposing the legislation, as did the National Basketball Association, or NBA. San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner, a Republican, at the urging of Democratic Councilmember Todd Gloria, who is gay, said that he would support a ban on travel for city officials to Indiana after similar boycotts were announced by several other major cities. Governor Pence of Indiana has since stated that he would seek an amendment to clarify the law to prevent discrimination, but has not yet provided details. Supporters contend that business owners should not have to provide services such as flowers for gay weddings if it offends their religious beliefs. Some argue that denying religious rights could be a slippery slope. Should a Jewish baker be forced to bake a cake with a swastika on it, for example? But opponents of the law point out that the history of protecting religious minorities in the U.S. does have limits, and that Congress itself passed a Religious Freedom Restoration Act in the 90s that applies only when no third party will be injured. In the case of the Arkansas and Illinois bills, customers denied service based on a business owner's religious views, whether they're gay or Jewish or Muslim or any other group, could suffer harm. The state's actions would provide broader religious freedoms than the Supreme Court extended in the Hobby Lobby case, when the High Court majority found that a small family-owned company could deny contraception coverage to employees based on religious beliefs. According to Columbia Law School professor Catherine Frank, the Arkansas and Indiana bills would go further, allowing corporations of any size to discriminate by claiming religious beliefs. But discrimination can have a backlash. and a counter backlash, as the owner of Memories Pizza learned. After the owner announced she would refuse to provide pizza for a gay wedding, her Yelp rating took a plunge with hundreds of negative reviews posted. But when the owner spoke of possibly having to shut down, an online fundraising effort swiftly raised $20,000 from supporters of her stance. The controversy has emerged as an issue on the campaign trail, too. Several Republican presidential contenders have come out in support of the bills. However, Florida Governor Jeb Bush told a radio show that Indiana's law is simply allowing people of faith space to be able to express their beliefs and to be, quote, people of conscience. Florida Senator Mark Rubio also voiced support for the bill. Democratic presidential contender Hillary Clinton, however, urged the Arkansas governor to veto the measure in his state, saying it would permit unfair discrimination against gay and lesbian people. The vocal opposition to the bill from such normally conservative groups as NASCAR and Walmart, major funders of the Republican Party, has led even some Republicans to urge that the GOP adapt to changing times. Tim Pawlenty, a Republican and former governor of Minnesota, told CNN that Walmart's actions foreshadow where the Republican Party will need to move. He called for the party to adopt policies to prohibit discrimination against gays and lesbians in jobs, housing, and public accommodations. Support for gay rights has gained ground even in the conservative Midwest. Moreover, a recent Wall Street Journal NBC News poll found that 59% of Americans now support same-sex marriage. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery. Next up, we have some national news updates from Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast. I'm Mike Clifford. A variety of issues from coast to coast, including Arkansas lawmakers being sent back to the drawing board on their religious freedom bill, California clamps down on water usage, but neighboring states pass on restrictions, and Autism Awareness Month highlights the dangers of wandering. Now our top story, in response to wide-ranging criticism from business leaders, internet giants, and even his own son, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson now says he will not sign that state's newly passed religious freedom law. The New York Times reports the Republican governor gave lawmakers two options, either recall the bill or pass a different version that he suggests should resemble the federal Religious Freedom Act. Meantime, Eric Galatis checks in with word that Texas lawmakers are considering new legislation that could subject lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people to discrimination and even criminal prosecution.
While outrage continues to grow over religious refusal laws passed in Indiana, Texas lawmakers are considering at least 20 bills critics say would discriminate against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. Proponents of the legislation say Texans should not be punished for refusing to perform certain job duties based on their religious beliefs. Chuck Smith with Equality Texas warns the state could face the same financial crisis hitting Indiana if the bills move forward.
And would lead to harmful economic consequences to the state of Texas, as well as damage the brand of the state, similar to the shellacking that the state of Indiana is experiencing right now.
Smith says the state already has religious protections under law and that Indiana could have avoided backlash if it had passed a measure similar to the 1999 Texas Religious Freedom Restoration Act, a bipartisan move that managed to balance religious liberty and non-discrimination. I'm Eric Galatis.
California Governor Jerry Brown clamped down on water usage Wednesday in response to severe drought conditions, but Troy Wild reports just across the state line, despite years-long drought on the Colorado River, Arizona is not facing the same historic mandatory water restrictions.
That's according to Thomas Bushansky, director at the Arizona Department of Water Resources. He says Arizona has been a leader in banking and conserving water as a means of avoiding extreme restriction measures.
So we got on the conservation bandwagon long before any other western state. I believe we're the only Colorado River state that actually has everyday mandatory conservation programs.
California Governor Jerry Brown is ordering residents, cities and towns, as well as businesses and farms to cut water use by 25%. It's being blamed on record low snowpack in the Sierra Nevada mountains, a major water source for the state. Meanwhile, Bushansky says the Bureau of Reclamation is forecasting a 50% or better chance that Arizona will see a cut in its Colorado River allocation by 2017. However, he says even if that happens, the state is prepared. I'm Troy Wild.
New York's budget has been finalized, but Governor Andrew Cuomo lost a fight to include the DREAM Act, a popular measure that would have offered college tuition assistance to thousands of undocumented immigrant children. We get the details from Derek Hawkins.
Lawmakers are now pressuring the governor to push the bill through the legislature in the coming months after it failed by one vote in the last session. State Senator Adriano Espaillat is the Democratic chair of the Latino Caucus.
I think that the governor has the bully pulpit to get us that one vote. He did it with marriage equality, and he's done it for the last 4 years for different things. And so we're asking that he uses his bully pulpit and his political influence to get us that extra vote.
Cuomo says he'll continue working to pass the DREAM Act, saying it opens doors for undocumented immigrants seeking higher education. Republican lawmakers argue the bill is a misuse of taxpayer money and say the state should put more resources into funding colleges.
Supporters say the DREAM Act would have extended about $27 million in financial aid to more than 4,500 undocumented children in New York. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, the highest-ranking Hispanic member of Congress, predicts he will be vindicated. The Washington Post reports he was charged Wednesday with accepting nearly $1 million in gifts and campaign donations, which prosecutors allege were made in return for political favors. About 1,000 Pittsburgh security guards expected to have their first union contract sometime this month. That after a 9-month organizing drive by the Service Employees International Union. Sam Williamson with SEIU 32BGA says they've been organizing at 10 or so companies that provide security for most of the major downtown buildings.
These are 1,000 workers who we now have an opportunity over time to move them from poverty wages to middle-class wages and build up our city.
Over time, he says they hope to move the guards from an average of about $9 an hour closer to $15. Finally, this week kicked off Autism Awareness Month, including a day to remember those with autism who lost their lives after wandering. Mary Sherman explains.
The U.S. Senate is considering a bill known as Avante's Law, which would provide funding for police departments to purchase equipment that can help locate people with autism who go missing. Wendy Fournier with the National Autism Association says those with autism typically wander to something of interest, or they flee an overwhelming environment.
Noises, lights, and people, and hearing 5 different conversations at the same time. That kind of stuff can be magnified for people on the spectrum. A lot of times the only thing that they can do is run away.
As part of the Awareness Month, parents with autistic children are encouraged to implement measures that can prevent wandering, including security alerts on doors and ID bracelets or tracking devices for their child. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
And now we have a report from County News Service about an unusual job training program in East County.
Did we have any orders today?
Grab the cups.
Justin and Carlos are setting up the coffee cart.
We got the caramel lattes, mocha lattes, the caramel frappuccinos. We got to get the chocolate, the caramel, and all the flavors out. We're going to turn on this power, and we're open. We're open for business.
Their customers are all nearby in a very small and special area.
Hey, Jenna, the coffee cart's open. Would you like anything today?
Oh, yeah. Can I get a vanilla latte, please?
We've come up with a couple of different names that have been pretty creative.
How many shots would you like?
You know, Camp Barrett Barista or the Barista at Camp Barrett.
Camp Barrett is out here in the rural area of Alpine. And this camp is a youth correctional facility for juveniles between the age of 16 and a half and 18. Justin and Carlos are both in custody.
Vanilla latte with 2 shots.
The goal is to provide training and skills to successfully reintegrate these teens into society.
So not only are we teaching academics, but we're also teaching, you know, life skills, you know, how to become just good people and how to make better choices.
Our goal in conjunction with them, with all of these programs that we do, is always to build not only work skills, but also confidence.
The coffee cart's a perfect example. It's an incentive for them. It's something they can work with, but you can see them, you know, in the background, they're interacting with the officers, with probation, with teachers on a more personal level, and that gives them a lot of confidence.
You know, it shows us leadership, and it shows us how to work together, so I believe it's a good program. You know, if anybody needs reprimanding, like myself, I needed it, and I feel as if, you know, it's doing well, and by the time I'm out of here, I'll have a lot of skills to use.
The program is set up through ROP with the San Diego County Office of Education. The kids go through a full culinary arts program, and the coffee cart is an extension of that, and they're getting school credit. But because of this setting, there are limitations.
Like, we can't have the thermometer that's normally used in the steaming of the milk. It essentially looks like a meat thermometer because it's a pointy object. We can't have that. And we don't use whipped cream. They have to whip their own cream because the propellant in whipped cream isn't something that we can have here.
We will write the names on the lid and throw it right on. And now we know that's Jenna's.
Carlos and Justin, who are working behind me, you know, they're great kids. They've worked really hard. They've worked our program here. They've done everything they've needed to do. And this is it's also a responsibility for them. They get a chance to show what they can do. And they've earned it.
Hi, Ms. Petty. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm learning how to deal with others, such as customers. Light or heavy on the camera?
That's good. Whatever you normally do is always great.
Say I get a job, you know, at Starbucks or any other coffee store. It's going to help with my greeting skills and also, you know, the way that a lot of people prefer their drinks.
He aprendido cómo hacer café.
I have learned to make coffee and different types of beverages for Cambert officers. It's something that I enjoy doing very much because it gives me the opportunity to talk to them and ask questions about what they like.
Work and employment is one of the number one sort of pro-social activities the person can get involved in. Especially important for the age group that we deal with here. Many of them are, you know, 17 or 18 years old already and are looking to enter the workforce. If we can give them the confidence and the skills to enter the workforce, I think that we've really helped them out and put them on a better track.
What I have learned is going to help me a lot because whenever I look for a job once I get out, I can say I have experience doing all these things.
Would you like whipped cream, yes?
It's an awesome opportunity for them. They have skills. We're giving them skills to go out into the world and say, hey, I can walk into a place, let me become a barista.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
It's really about changing the world and changing the lives of these kids, and that's what we're here to do. And if we can continue to do that through these types of experiences for the kids, they're gonna be successful, and that's what we want.
In the County News Center, I'm Suzanne Bartol.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
What if you could cut your risk of Alzheimer's disease in half just by eating certain foods? That's exactly what a new study concludes, done by researchers at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. Following what's called the MIND diet, even moderately well, reduced the onset of Alzheimer's by 53%, even in people with other risk factors such as genetics and smoking. The study was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's and Dementia. It looked at over 900 people ages 58 to 98, examining surveys on what they ate and following up with neurological testing. The MIND diet recommends 10 brain-healthy food groups you should eat, as well as 5 unhealthy foods to avoid. So here are the 10 foods that you should eat. Green leafy vegetables such as kale and spinach high in vitamin A, and 6 servings a week is ideal to keep your brain at peak performance. Other vegetables packed with nutrients should be consumed daily. Nuts are important to help lower cholesterol. Berries, especially blueberries, boost brain function if eaten twice a week or more. Beans, high in fiber and protein without the fat, should be eaten 3 times a week. And whole grains are important to eat 3 times every single day. Eating fish just once a week can help keep your mind sharp. Poultry should be eaten twice a week. And olive oil protects against cognitive decline as well. And finally, a glass of red wine daily also helps prevent Alzheimer's. Cheers! Now for the 5 foods to avoid. Red meat should be restricted to no more than 4 servings a week. Butter and margarine should be limited to a tablespoon a day, and you can use olive oil instead. Cheese consumption should be limited to just once a week, so think twice before ordering up that pizza. Pastries and sweets are bad for your brain and your waistline. Fried foods also fry your brain effectively, so limit those to just once a week, if at all. The MIND diet works best the longer you follow it, so the earlier in life you get started, the better your chances of avoiding Alzheimer's disease and dementia as you age. And if you don't remember all the points we just listed, you can find them on our website at eastcountymagazine.org in our health section. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Ed Barreno with the Health Report.
Time magazine reports that a new study has found antibiotic-resistant bacteria from cattle yards in Texas have become airborne, meaning they could spread to people. A study will be published in Environmental Health Perspectives in April. One of the authors, molecular biologist Greg Mayer, told a Texas newspaper that the study's findings, quote, made me not want to breathe, unquote. The cattle excrete the bacteria in manure. The bacteria then acquire natural immunities to survive, but now they're going airborne in dust and blown by winds long distances from the stockyards. Cattle yards in just the four major cattle-producing Midwest states release up to 46,000 tons of particles each day, particles that could be absorbed in the lungs of people. The bacteria can also be absorbed in food or water consumed, potentially making the battle against antibiotic-resistant bacteria a lot more challenging.
More than half of the online job postings in California are for positions that require at least a four-year college degree. And a new report says it matters a lot what type of degree. Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce analyzed online job ads by state to see which career fields are the most promising, and says one-third of California job postings are for managerial and professional occupations. Dr. Tony Carnevale, lead author of the report, describes California as a new economy state that's showing a solid recovery from the recession.
It has a mix of college-level jobs that include the technical, but also include a whole set of jobs which we've come to call business services, managerial and professional skills required in the production of any kind of good or service nowadays.
Carnevale says the most California college-level job listings are for software and application developers, wholesale and manufacturing positions, and sales reps. He explains today many salespeople are expected to be experts on the medical or technical products they sell, so degrees often are required. The report says the fastest growing industry sector for California college grads is leisure and hospitality services, growing 30% in the last few years. Carnevale says that doesn't mean waiting tables and washing dishes. It means managing restaurants, hotels, and recreational facilities.
It's been a big growth area for a very long time. What is distinctive about it is that it's very cyclical. It is one of the ones that goes down hard and comes back fast as the economy recovers.
He says the report underscores the need to go to college to get a good job. But what may be different now than in past decades is it isn't enough to simply get a degree. It has to be relevant to the field of work.
The texture of what employers are looking for is changing in the sense that they're much more focused on specialization and degree specialization. They care what you majored in college as much as they care whether or not you went.
Jobs in engineering and healthcare fields figured prominently in online ads across the country. For Public News Service, I'm Chris Thomas.
This is Ed Barreno with the Crime Beat Report. Two mattresses were ignited in City Heights early Tuesday morning, just before 1 a.m. A half hour later, a commercial garbage bin erupted into flames. These are the latest in a string of a dozen or more fires in the past 2 weeks in City Heights. The Metro Arson Strike Team believes they were intentionally set, Times of San Diego reports. San Diego Fire Rescue Captain Joe Amador says there have been some close calls in fighting the fires. No arrests have yet been made.
A police chase in La Mesa Thursday night ended when the suspect crashed into a car dealership. The wild chase began after a homeowner on Saranac Street called 911 to report a prowler trying to break into his house. La Mesa police spotted a possible suspect leaving the scene, but when they tried to pull over the driver, he sped off. When the chase reached Alvarado Road, the suspect lost control and crashed into a gate at the Bob Stahl Chevrolet dealership, causing minor damage to several vehicles. The homeowner identified the suspect, who was taken into custody, the sheriff's department reports. For East County Magazine on KNSJ, this has been Miriam Raftery.
Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Rebecca Williamson. SDG&E has received approval from the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, to use unmanned drones to conduct aerial inspections of its gas and electrical facilities. A spokesperson for SDG&E says use of aerial drones will enable the utility to respond quickly to emergencies and inspect lines and other facilities in remote, difficult-to-access areas. It will also reduce the use of of unmanned helicopters, meaning less noise and lower costs. In addition, drones will make it easier to find the cause of power outages and protect employees' safety as well as public safety. The drones measure just 16 inches across and weigh less than a pound. A camera mounted on each drone will relay live images back to a controller, alerting crews if repairs are needed. This is considered particularly critical following a disaster such as an earthquake or a wildfire. Approval comes after STG&E won approval last year for testing of drones to inspect electrical lines in East County. SDG&E is the second utility in the nation to receive such approval.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County includes extravaganzas, an Easter bunny train, and a harmonica festival.
We'll also have preview of coming attractions, including a Baroque music concert at Cuyamaca College, the Taste of Julian Country Culinary Tour, the world-famous Romero Brothers performing classical guitar music, and a flash jam featuring hundreds of musicians playing old-time fiddle music across the town of Julian.
Stay tuned for all of these events and much, much more from East County Magazine.
12 top bands will take stage at the 16th annual Spring Harp Fest, a harmonica extravaganza at La Mesa's Harry Griffin Park on Saturday, April 4th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. This annual outdoor family-oriented music tribute is a fundraiser to support children's music education in San Diego. Last year, the organization donated $3,000 of the proceeds to the Blues Lovers United of San Diego Blues in the Schools program to help pass the love of the harmonica on to the next generation. For a full lineup, see springharpfest.org.
Sandy Lakes invites the public to its annual extravaganza on April 4th. This community event features continuous egg hunts for children ages 8 and under, live entertainment, a petting zoo, pony rides, crafts booths, and carnival rides brought to you by the City of Santee and the Padre Dam Municipal Water District. For full details, hop on over to SanteeLakes.com.
The Easter Bunny train will be rolling out of Campo Depot at the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum on April 4th. This annual family event includes a ride aboard the vintage train and an Easter egg hunt. For details, visit psrm.org.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Members of the San Diego Early Music Society will be performing Baroque concertos for harp, mandolin, and flute at Cuyamaca College's Performing Arts Center on Thursday, April 9th at 7:30 p.m. Founded in 1985 by musicians dedicated to presenting period performances of music of the 18th and early 19th centuries, this 22-piece ensemble has been hailed around the world. The program includes works by Vivaldi, Telemann, Durante, Corelli, and Handel. For more information, visit sdems.org.
Julian, San Diego's historic gold community, hosts A Taste of Julian on April 11th from 1 to 5 p.m. This rural dining adventure features a self-guided culinary tour of restaurants, wineries, and breweries. Tickets are available at the Julian Town Hall at 2129 Main Street, along with your map of participating restaurants, wineries, and breweries. For details or tickets, visit juliansca.com.
The Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona invites you to an open farm tour on April 11th and 12th from 1 until 4 p.m. An animal show featuring the Camel Dairy's entertaining residents will be staged at 1:30, after which you can enjoy camel rides, camel petting, and photos. For more information, visit cameldairy.com.
East County resident Nancy Manning wants us to know, be a part of the Bark at the Bay benefit, a fundraising extravaganza for labs and more rescue from shelters to homes since 2011. Your doggone details are Saturday, May 16th, 2015, 5:30 to 9, Baja Room, Marina Village in San Diego. To find out more, visit their website at labsandmore.org.
Saturday, April 11th is Sweet Pea Day at Summers Pass Farms in Flynn Springs, just east of El Cajon. This annual event celebrates fragrant, old-fashioned sweet pea flowers in full glory. Arrive early for this popular occasion. Gates open at 9 a.m., and cutting your own bouquets in a beautiful sweet pea maze starts at 11 a.m., while the blossoms last. You can also enjoy live music and snacks at a coffee bar or bring a picnic to enjoy on the grass. Find out more at summerspassfarms.com.
The City of La Mesa will host April Pools Day on April 11th from 12 to 3 p.m. at the La Mesa Community Pool to promote water safety. Activities include swimming lessons, water safety and CPR presentations, synchronized swimming and water polo demonstrations, and a mock rescue by city lifeguards and the fire department. April Pools Day is a free event for the whole family, so bring your swimsuits.
The Julian Family Fiddle Camp will be held at Camp Cedar Glen, April 8th through 12th, providing an immersion-style roots music camp for folks of all ages and levels wanting to improve their skills on fiddle, mandolin, guitar, or old-time banjo. Some of the most renowned North American artists serve as faculty, with attendees coming from across the U.S. as well as abroad. Tents and RVs are allowed, with evening concerts for the public on Friday, April 10th and Saturday, April 11th at 7 p.m. For more information, visit familyfiddlecamp.com.
Flash Jam is an annual gathering of musicians who converge in front of Julian's Town Hall to play a trio of traditional old-time fiddle tunes on April 12th at 2 p.m. The event draws acoustic string musicians of all ages and abilities from far and near, with hundreds coming to fill the town with music. After the first round of tunes at the Town Hall, the musicians move to several other locations along Main Street to repeat their performance.
Three generations of the famous Romero's family will perform a guitar music concert on Sunday, April 12th at 2 p.m. in the Poway Center for the Performing Arts. The Romero's have performed for dignitaries around the world, including the President of the United States, His Royal Majesty of Spain, and Pope John Paul II at the Vatican. You can also opt to dine under the stars before the show with a gourmet meal catered by Café Merlot. For more information or tickets, visit poweyarts.org.
Get ready to rev up. Cajon Classic Cruises is rolling out its 2015 season starting Wednesday, April 22nd, with a full street closure for opening night. The cruises will continue all summer long on Wednesday nights from 5 to 8 p.m. The second week, April 29th, will celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Other highlights include Jimmy Johnson Night, a military tribute, and Thunder on Main Street. For the full Cajon Classic Cruises season lineup, visit downtownelcajon.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
Today, we're going to be talking about what to do over spring break.
Spring break.
All right. It's finally here.
Staycation.
Cool. Now, I've got, as you can hear, my staff with me here, Ariel, Leon, and Ed. Ed's a parent, and Leon's an outdoorsy kind of guy. So we're going to be telling you about both things to do if you're a college student and you're in town over spring break, you're not going away. There's some great things to do right here in East County. And if you're a parent and you have little kids home for spring break, we've got some ideas for you, too. So what are some of the best outdoor adventures that you can find in East County? Leon, what's your favorite hike that you're aware of?
There's a lot of good hiking in San Diego County, East County, everywhere. Up in the mountains, Cuyamaca, Laguna, the Three Sisters Falls, the Cedar Falls.
Cedar Creek Falls is one of the most popular with a lot of the college kids out there. And what do they need to know if they want to go find this beautiful place that, at least when there's a lot of water there, is just a gorgeous, spectacular waterfall with a swimming hole underneath?
Well, they need to have a permit.
Right.
If you hike out there, you have to have a permit, which is a good thing because it is a place that could slip and fall. People are pulled out of there from time to time. So be careful and make sure you let them know that you're going down there.
U.S. Forest Service.
Yes. And as of last month, the 30th of last month, there was water at the bottom of the creek. Clear, so clear that you can see down into the lake, which is good because there's rocks and stuff down there. But it's a great, great place to hike and have a little swim on a hot summer day.
It's a great place. No alcohol. They've banned that. And they've also banned jumping or diving off the rocks because, as you noted, there have been some injuries. But if you follow the rules, it's probably one of the most gorgeous places.
Yes, on the website, Romantic Places to Go, it's rated one of the top 10 places that you can hike with someone who you want to be with.
Very good. Ed, what's your favorite outdoor destination in East County?
Lake Cuyamaca is probably my favorite place because you can go there and you can camp in their cabins and can paddle on the lake there, kayak, do all sorts of hiking around there, real easy hikes. You know, you can take your grandma there hiking and you can fish as well.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, it's kind of a small lake and it's low key. It's not too crowded out there. It's a real nice place to go with your family and have some fun.
Now, there's a lot of other things for those that are feeling daring. There's some extreme sport opportunities. What are some of those?
Hang gliding that you can do over in sort of the Blossom Valley area. And then you can also, there's a glider port. And then there's
Jeep Warner tours. Springs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's Jeep tours that you can do.
Yeah. I think Overland Adventures offers off-road Jeep tours down into the Anzabrego Desert and also wine tasting tours through the backcountry in our mountain areas. And there's also horseback riding, and in fact, for those of you over 21, there's even a vineyard tours on horseback that you can take, wine tasting on horseback.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can find somewhere to go skydiving.
Yeah, all kinds of things, stargazing, you name it. Now, Ariel, what are some of the biggest festivals that would be great, not only for the college kids, but the whole family? Can you tell us about a few of the ones coming up?
Sure, Miriam. The Spring Harp Fest is a good one for music enthusiasts. It's referring to the Blues Harmonica, and it's an annual festival. It's happening this weekend.
That's in La Mesa?
Right, it's at Harry Griffin Park.
Believe it or not, we do have nightlife in East County. And
that is not all outdoorsy. I do indoorsy as well.
That's right. For example, there's live comedy on certain Monday nights out at the Internet Space Bar Cafe in La Mesa,
yes.
Brouhaha. Yeah, the name alone would make you want to go, I think. Yeah, there's an open mic night or something out at Downtown Cafe as well.
Downtown Cafe Sunday afternoon with Chet and the committee singing blues. He's always got a guest harmonica player or a blues guitar player or a new drummer or a new vocalist there.
Very
and then they have
cool.
open
That's
mics
cool.
in the afternoon. Right in the middle of downtown Oklahoma, the place is packed every Sunday
great
afternoon.
Great food.
And I think, Ed, you were telling me about a place out in Lakeside that's got a lot of live entertainment.
Yeah, Eastbound is well known. They do a lot for the local community also. And it's great food and great atmosphere.
And live entertainment.
Oh, yeah. They have bands and they do karaoke and all those kind of things.
Yeah. There's all kinds of them. Let's talk about some things for the younger children now. Ed, you're a parent. Where are some of the places you've found to go take your son to have some fun?
Yeah, lately I've been checking out the rec centers. They've got lots of fun activities. They're very affordable. If you're a resident in the community, it's very affordable. And even if you're from outside the community, it's only $5 more to sign up for lots of programs that they offer. I just took my boy to Scooter Camp all last week in Sandy.
What is Scooter Camp?
I saw that.
Basically, they just ride scooters in the skate park and they learn how to do tricks.
Skills, certain skills.
Yeah. I love these.
Yeah, when my kids were little, we did a lot of them at the La Mesa Rec Center. I know El Cajon has a lot. And it's not just sports stuff. There's art classes and music and dance and all kinds of different things. Science now. For children of all ages, the Water Conservation Garden at Cuyamaca College in El Cajon has a butterfly pavilion.
Yes, my grandchildren and I went for the opening, and it's really beautiful. Plus, it's just one of the most gorgeous places if you want to just go and look at the gardens, stop and read in one of the little back areas, and just quiet, gorgeous place.
Fantastic. Another really popular destination in East County during the winter and the early spring months like this is the Anza-Borrego Desert State Park. If it's not too hot, there's even a wildflower hotline you can call. There's a lot of activities right out of the visitor center, or you can go to the Anza-Borrego Desert Foundation to see even more activities, hikes, some ranger-led hikes, all kinds of things. And then there's the Hukumba Hiker and Walkers right here in East County that lead a lot of weekend hikes, too.
Lots to check out.
And we can't leave out Santee Lakes if you live in that part of the county. For outdoor activity for the whole family, there's fishing and hiking, there's boats and canoes, there's entertainment out there.
Camping.
There's a great campground out there.
Pedal boats on the lake.
Swimming pool. And there's Lake 1, Lake 2, Lake 3. And all, as you go up, the lakes all have a different purpose. And you go way up, there's a couple of them that you can take and only walk your dog around. It's just like a doggy lake. And then they're all surrounded with trees and birds and ducks and white pelicans.
Yeah, there's a lot of other places. Lake Jennings, a lot of other lakes around, too. You can go on the county website, County Parks, and you can also get a list of all kinds of activities. Some of them are ranger-led activities at all of the different county parks as well.
And Mission Trails Regional Park.
Mission Trails Regional Park.
Yeah, they have rock climbing for your adventurous at heart. And a lot of, what are some of the kind of activities they have for the younger set?
Well, are you talking about the Easter egg hunts, Miriam, that are coming up this weekend?
You know, I think we should. Ariel, I understand you know about a lot of Easter-oriented activities coming up that are really fun for the little ones.
That's right. And at Santee Lakes, which Leon just mentioned, which happened to also have won a national award for parks. So it's an award-winning park. And they're having an extravaganza, an egg hunt on Saturday at the San Carlos Recreation Center. That's going to be an annual spring carnival and egg hunt.
Now, if you're interested in history, another great place is Julian. What are some of the great things people can do up in Julian there?
Well, you know, they have a little gold mine that you can actually go in and tour and pan for gold. I know on the weekend on Sundays, starting in late morning, the Julian Doves and Desperados do reenactment skits.
Very cool. Yeah, and the mine is called the Eagle Mine. And I'm not sure if they have panning for gold right there, but there is another place just outside of town. If you're coming up between Winola and Julian on the left side there, there's a place where you actually can go panning for gold. They have a petting zoo that the kids enjoy, so that's also an awful lot of fun. There's also San Diego Safari Park, if you're into wildlife, up in San Pasqual, sort of the northeast part of the county. There's also lions, tigers, and bears in Alpine, which is a little pricier, but it's really exciting because you can get quite up close to some of the big cats out there. There are some very nice wine tasting opportunities all over the backcountry. You can go visit many of the wineries throughout our mountain areas. There's some of them in the southeast part of the county. And there's even an opportunity now to go horseback riding on and wine tasting, a vineyard tour that includes wine tasting on horseback. On our website, you can check the Destination East County. You can check the calendar, our festivals events section, an arts and music section where we list things like the music festival.
The sacrifice.
Yeah, that's these are sacrifices. My staff works really hard to get this stuff for you guys.
Someone has to do it.
Yeah. That's right. Well, from all of us to all of you, we wish you a fantastic spring break.
Yeehaw!
Have fun.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
More than half of the online job postings in California are for positions that require at least a four-year college degree. And a new report says it matters a lot what type of degree. Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce analyzed online job ads by state to see which career fields are the most promising, and says one-third of California job postings are for managerial and professional occupations. Dr. Tony Carnevale, lead author of the report, describes California as a new economy state that's showing a solid recovery from the recession.
It has a mix of college-level jobs that include the technical, but also include a whole set of jobs which we've come to call business services, managerial and professional skills required in the production of any kind of good or service nowadays.
Carnevale says the most California college-level job listings are for software and application developers, wholesale and manufacturing positions, and sales reps. He explains today many salespeople are expected to be experts on the medical or technical products they sell, so degrees often are required. The report says the fastest growing industry sector for California college grads is leisure and hospitality services, growing 30% in the last few years. Carnevale says that doesn't mean waiting tables and washing dishes. It means managing restaurants, hotels, and recreational facilities.
It's been a big growth area for a very long time. What is distinctive about it is that it's very cyclical. It is one of the ones that goes down hard and comes back fast as the economy recovers.
He says the report underscores the need to go to college to get a good job. But what may be different now than in past decades is it isn't enough to simply get a degree. It has to be relevant to the field of work.
The texture of what employers are looking for is changing in the sense that they're much more focused on specialization and degree specialization. They care what you majored in college as much as they care whether or not you went.
Jobs in engineering and healthcare fields figured prominently in online ads across the country. For Public News Service, I'm Chris Thomas.
This is Mark Clements.
And this is Cody Clements.
Working hard to bring you the wildest jobs in East County. Today, Cody and I went to Lakeside. There we met a man who's going to explain why his workday is more interesting than yours, or at least more likely to end up in a trip, to the hospital. I'm here today with Kevin Higley, who is a rodeo clown. Kevin, how long have you been doing rodeo clowning?
Ooh, that's a dated question, huh? You're going to make me tell how old I am is what you're trying to get at, right? No, I've been actually a professional rodeo clown for 30 years. Prior to that, I participated in high school rodeo and as a contestant, and then I started doing what we call amateur rodeos as a rodeo clown bullfighter, and then I got my pro card and went on to the professional ranks. And so I've been it for, I bet you, total almost 35 years.
So you were doing professional rodeo as what prior to doing the clown part of it?
I was, I tried to be a bull rider. Thought maybe I could make a profession out of it and a living. Wasn't very good at that. So what it came to be was my brother was a really good bull rider, and we had what they call a practice pen at home where we buck some bulls and stuff. And so we took turns being the bullfighter who would save the bull rider. Well, boy, I saved him a whole lot more than he ever thought of saving me. And so it became apparent that I was probably a little bit more adapted to the bullfighting area and saving the cowboys. And that was really the love and passion that I had once I got started, that, you know, the thrill of saving a guy so you can get on to another one is really something else. And as time went on, of course, you slow down a couple steps. Not me, but my mind may. I don't know. But anyway, so then I transferred into the rodeo clown / barrel man type aspect of the professional rodeo deal.
Now, you use the term bull fighting, which seems more appropriate to me somehow. So here's another question for you. I've noticed that bulls don't seem to have a lot of sense of humor. So have you actually made one ever laugh?
Oh, yeah, they're always smiling when they run over you. Yeah, well, they've got a smile. You know, a lot of people, they used to say that a bull will actually close his eyes before he runs over you. But that's not true. I can attest to that. They're wide open, and they are laughing. It's like, I got you, buddy. It's good.
So the natural follow-up to that is, how many bones have you had broken?
That's one we don't like to discuss very much. But, you know, I've been really fortunate in my career to stay away from most of the broken bones. I fractured a couple neck vertebrae, and I've had a couple of bones in my foot broke and a couple things like that. But as a whole, I've been really healthy and really good.
Do you really like to use the word whole when you're talking about bulls and horns and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's kind of, you got to watch that one. Put you in a hole.
Now, I'm sure that people, not necessarily associated with rodeo, but people on the outside probably think that you would do this for the thrills. What kind of satisfaction do you get from actually doing this work?
That's a great question. You know, like I said, early on, is just the satisfaction that you did something to help somebody else to be able to further their career and go on and stuff. So saving a bull rider from a bull, or helping him, assisting him to be a higher score, that's where it starts. And that now it's the thrill of entertainment, you know, making people laugh. I just love to hear them giggle and laugh. And so that part is where I'm at now in my career. So we do it for the love, because, you know, unlike a lot of professional sports, the money isn't probably as good as your football, your baseball, your basketball players. But it also is an aspect of it. We do it for the money as well.
Yeah, so you're as a professional rodeo, I see that you have a big trailer. So you travel around from rodeo to rodeo?
I do. Throughout the course of this year, I'll probably be in at least 15 states. I guess the farthest away, which my trailer wasn't able to go with me and a lot of my animals wasn't, was Hawaii. We've actually did rodeos in Hawaii on two of the islands over there.
Oh, really? So you did go to Hawaii, but you just didn't float your trailer across?
No, trailer stayed home, as well as my animals that I use in my clown acts, yeah.
Okay, so you do an act out on the in the arena with your own animals. I see you have a dog over there. Is that one of your?
Yeah, I've actually got three or four dogs, and I've got a trick horse, trick mule. You know, sometimes the kids become my tricks. You know, I'm very enthusiastic about getting the crowd involved, and so we use the kids a lot of times in some of the things we do.
If I ever were to find myself in a field with a pissed off bull, because, you know, that happens to me a lot. Give me some ideas for how to sort of distract the guy.
Well, you know, so the best thing to do is, of course, it's not all about how fast you can outrun them. It's about the move that you can make to get around them. Because they've got a big old body, and they got to bend in half to get to back to where you are. So what you want to do is you want to kind of get in as close as possible and then make that move to the inside and keep them coming. And then when you get to break, you break them so they're on a different lead and you can get away from them.
So you have to fight every instinct, natural instinct, to turn around and run. And you have to get close to them, right next to them, in order to be safe.
You're sure better off. Yeah, you're better off. I mean, I know that my legs have never stood around for my face to take a beating, you know. And so it's kind of a natural instinct to run, yes. But, you know, there's a lot of different things you use. The apparel that we wear, the things we wear that gets their attention, that will bring them in your direction, and then it's up to you to make the move to bring them away from the cowboy and to get yourself away.
Okay. Now, professional football players, you mentioned them. They're always complaining about having a short career. Now, you've been doing this for a while. How long would you say the average rodeo clown sort of stays in the profession?
You know, and I guess that would be a term that's kind of tough to use, average, because I don't know any of us that are too, you know. And I guess the guy that kind of I look up to and kind of was my mentor, taught me a little bit, was a guy by the name of Wick Path. And he actually fought bulls at an active level, professional level, till he was 57 years old. It's all about how physically fit you stay. We've got a guy in the business right now that's strictly entertainment. He doesn't even get in the barrel anymore or do any of those things to help out. And he's 78 years old and very active and doing a great job.
Okay, well, see, my son here is, let's say, that he goes to see his guidance counselor at school. And the guidance counselor, I've noticed, doesn't have any posters on the wall of rodeos or anything.
No.
But let's say that she says that she's changed her mind and he should forget about engineering and all of that, and he should become a rodeo clown. What advice would you give him for getting into this job, apart from why don't you do something safe like join the Navy SEALs?
Yeah, there we go. Two safe jobs. Well, I'll tell you what the first thing I would do with modern day rodeo, we have schools, and the best thing to do for someone that's inspiring to be a rodeo clown or a bullfighter or a participant, a contestant, is to search out one of those schools and go spend a week, 3 days, whatever the school is, and actually get a head start on what they really could do and if they're adapted for that.
Do you know of any women who do this job who are rodeo clowns?
You know, there used to be, years ago, there was a lady that actually didn't actually do the bullfighting part of the clown, but she got in the barrel, and she would tell a few jokes and do stuff. But that was a long time ago. Right at this present time, I don't know anybody, any ladies. I think it has to do with intelligence.
Oh, okay. That's an excellent point. Cody, you have a question?
Yeah, what's the deal with the barrels? What exactly do you do with barrels?
Okay, the barrel is out there for a particular reason. We had put it out in the middle of the arena. Actually, not quite the middle of the arena. It's a little closer to the bucking chutes. And it really becomes kind of like a safe haven for the bullfighters or the bull riders. In case that bull is coming at them, they're caught out in no man's land. They can come there, catch their breath, get away, or at least the bull will be distracted so they can move on. It's my job as a barrel man to position my barrel in a place which will help assist the bullfighters and the bull rider to be able to have a little bit more safety. So, and it's really like sitting in a washing machine just waiting for somebody to turn that thing on, the spin cycle. Because when one of those guys hits it, it can really turn your world upside down.
So it sounds like your job is more about strategy than it is about, I mean, obviously on YouTube or on TV, what they like to show is rodeo clowns being tossed and trampled and all that. But the object is to avoid that and to protect the cowboys and to entertain the crowd, basically, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a given that you're going to be in a very bad situation most of the time, because, you know, you've got an unpredictable animal. He's gonna do what he wants to do. He's gonna do this. So you're gonna be put in a position where you're gonna get in there that you're probably gonna get what they call hooked and thrown out of there. But the better that you prepare yourself to be able to make yourself in the right position to walk away from that, the longer your career will be.
So you're kind of like the ninjas of the West, is what you're telling me.
I never had it put that way, but yeah, cowabunga, dude, let's do it.
Okay, Cody.
So is it true about bulls that they don't like red, like don't like red capes? Is that true?
Great question. You know, and it really is a myth. That doesn't have to do with the red cape that the matadors, you see if the matadors are fighting, or like in our case, we wear bandanas a lot of times on our deals. It's all about the movement. It's the movement of something that brings their attention to it, and that's why when you see the guys with the capes and the matadors, and they can stand in one spot, but the bull will follow the cape and follow that deal.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to the people of East County?
Boy golly, if they get a chance, come to the rodeo. They're going to enjoy it.
So, Cody, now that you've seen a little bit of what life as a rodeo clown is like, are you ready to reconsider your future?
No, because as much as my counselors say that I should quit any field that involves thinking, I think I should steer clear of this kind of career.
Are you saying that you don't want to get involved in something that can cow you this much?
You know, I have a lot of beef with you saying something that mean about me, Dad.
Well, I would say that right now my attitude is the lasso your problems.
I just don't know if I'm capable of learning the ropes on this exciting career.
Well, son, that sounds like a lot of bull to me, because I don't know anyone who clowns around as much as you do. This is Mark Clements.
And this is Cody Clements.
Clocking out of one of the wildest jobs in East County.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Kevin McLeod, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.